Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Recently, the event room at Boston's Old South Church was packed with members of the local chapter of United for a Fair Economy, the economic rights organization, and Responsible Wealth, a UFE project that brings together inheritors, people who've inherited extreme wealth and agree with UFE that creating a fair and equitable economy benefits everyone, but truly the lowest paid, which includes many of these United for a Fair Economy activists.
When we're talking about the effects of economic oppression and the ways in which they hurt us, there are moments in which we have to pause, and sometimes that's a struggle for people in economic justice.
Sometimes we have worries around money, right?
Yes.
It's hard to talk about money
Yes. Sometimes,
right? And so we just gotta not tell ourselves the story that the world is telling us and create a new one.
Tonight they've gathered to break bread and award others, including Abigail Disney, granddaughter of Roy, grandniece of Walt Disney, and heiress to the family fortune. She recently spoke out against Disney's treatment of workers. We sat down to talk about the award she'd be receiving. The Traitor to Your Class Award.
I love it. And I've been saying for years in my family that I'm a traitor to my class. And it has always been meant with a sense of humor and never greeted with laughter.
Well, what does this mean to you to receive it?
They're fellow travelers, right? You know, it's so satisfying because then you recognize you're not crazy.
Well, and you know there are people who think you are. Just be quiet and have your wealth.
Yeah.
And when you say fellow travelers, a lot of people in this room, they're barely scraping together, you know, minimum wage of that. But you seem completely comfortable.
There have been times in my life where I've been in rooms full of low-income people who are not happy to see me. And the resentment is something I very much understand.
Is that what you're saying? You feel resentment from them?
Oh, sometimes. But I'm very committed to the idea that the people who work hardest in this society are the people who are least rewarded.
We'll talk about the very specific thing you're talking about, which was Bob Iger's salary. It bothered you that his salary was, what, 787 times?
No, I don't begrudge him his salary, honestly. What I begrudge him is that salary at the same time as there are people struggling to get by on the wage they're being paid. That's what I don't understand, is that you can walk home with $130 million for a single year's work and at the same time know that less than 20 miles from where you lay your head on the pillow peacefully, there's somebody who can't guarantee that tomorrow morning there'll be enough food. I just don't understand how there's not too much shame.
You are getting emotional about this.
I am. I find that disparity unsettling. I've never been comfortable with it. And I honestly don't understand people who are.
You went to Disneyland and you talked to workers and you say that they told you things like that they were, what, scrounging from dumpsters in one case?
You know, I might have been hyperbolic with the dumpster thing. I get emotional. But their hours are being limited so that they cannot put together enough hours to qualify for full time and therefore benefits. That's a major violation of some very basic principles of fairness. There are people who aren't paid enough to afford their insulin. It's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. That's been happening at this company.
Did they know you were at Disney?
Mm-hmm. In fact, it was really nice. I mean, Disney, there were people who described it as a cult in the early days because the people who came to work were real believers in the idea that there was a principle. They were selling soda and a dream. And the workers I met with could have gotten more pay elsewhere, but wouldn't have had the personal satisfaction of working for Disney. And they were at the breaking point. That's what makes me upset. They were so sweet when I came into that room because they were so excited to meet me, because I knew my grandfather and my father, and they, you know, they're legends. The fact that that coexists with people trying to make ends meet makes me so crazy because they have such loyalty and commitment to what they're doing, and that loyalty is not being rewarded or even mentioned.
Well, you know, after you went public with these comments, Disney, the company, came back and said that their workers earn an average $19.50 an hour, They offer benefits and initiatives like free colleges in some cases. You're smiling. You've heard this.
Of course I've heard it. Education is wonderful, but it asks you to actively support this narrative, which is that if you're in a low-paying job, you're only in it on your way to a better-paying job. There is no regard for the person who spends 20 years as a hotel maid, a janitor, a custodian, or whatever. And if you do not intend to scrub your own freaking toilet, then you had better be willing to pay the person who does it in your stead. That whole idea of betterment implies that a person who's cleaning the toilets isn't really already enough. Average 1950 doesn't tell you anything about the bottom. Disney employees are very happy from the middle up.
And that's your point, and I hear your point, because I was going to say, and by the way, full disclosure, I went to college with Bob Iger, but I mean, this is the pushback. He did increase Disney stock fivefold. I read that the Avengers Endgame made $1.2 billion in 1 weekend. So you know people
would... All the more reason to pay your minimum wage workers a dignified salary.
Talk a little bit about how you came to this sense of that amount of money being obscene. You considered yourself maybe upper middle class growing up, but nothing compared to what was going to happen in the 1980s when Michael Eisner took Disney through the roof. And suddenly your father has a private 737 jet.
Yeah. And I flew in it alone once, and that was really a watershed for me. But what I saw in my father himself was there was a lessening regard for being thoughtful, making sure that people got enough time off.
You've explained, have I got this right, because he wasn't having to do this huge part of life that people have to do, which is travel with your fellow man.
Exactly. You begin to forget that you're part of the same human race. You come, I think, to start believing that you're really all that great. And that's, it's an empathy killer.
People manage to hold on to their humanity and have a jet. And as you say, money is morally neutral. It doesn't make you good by having it.
Right.
But it also doesn't make you bad by having it.
It doesn't make you bad. There are plenty of people I know who walk around in a cloud of shame who've inherited money. And it's very important that we make sure they know that they're no worse than anyone else.
You seem to get a little emotional there, too. I mean, you talk about you have a new baby and people are giving you Mickey Mouse diapers and you want to throw up.
Yeah,
is that shame?
Yes, I started in great shame, and I worked it out over, 10, 15 years of a lot of therapy and thinking and having my own children.
You were one of 19 very wealthy Americans to sign an open letter to the Democratic presidential candidates, ask for a moderate wealth tax. What does that look like to you, by the way?
I don't think it's unreasonable at all to tax wealth. We, I think, as wealthy people, use up plenty of government services. I think it starts around $10 million, but okay, let's go up to $20 million. I think it's not unreasonable to take 1%, 1.5%, 2%. Everybody with $1 billion is making 5 to 8 to 12 to 20% every year on the money that they're having. So a 1 to 2% wealth tax would never undermine the capacity wealthy people have to grow their fortune. Disney has 200,000 employees. Disney took $3.5 billion from their tax windfall in 2018 and made share buybacks. At any time that Disney chooses, it could raise the wages of the bottom 20% of its employees without affecting profitability.
Everybody's looking at you and saying, yeah, but that's what my dream is.
Yeah.
To be that as wealthy as you are.
Yeah, exactly. And so if I complain about it or if I say I have too much, it's like I'm criticizing this fantasy they have of themselves.
You're attacking the American dream.
I'm attacking the idea that the American dream is still valid, because it's not. The ladder out of poverty that my grandfather and great uncle climbed is no longer available. People's lives and destinies are determined more by their zip code, the color of their skin, their education level.
And you're being honored by what, at least in part, looks like a lot of people of color and low wage. You're going to be sitting down at paper-covered tables and dining with them. This is not a Met Gala.
The best dinners are on white paper tablecloths, and they have brought me the best friendships and the most meaningful relationships I have.
Freedom, freedom.
Abigail Disney, heir to the Disney fortune, who shortly after he spoke received the Traitor to Her Class Award from the Boston chapter of the economic rights nonprofit United for a Fair Economy and its offshoot, Responsible Wealth. For more, go to hearingnow.org.